Christmas is really the story of God in a manger. And as I thought about that over the past few weeks, there were a few things that I wanted to remind you of concerning God in a manger or the birth of Jesus Christ and really the Christmas story. Because the reality is, not only did God in a manger, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus change everything at that point, but still today, this is the same message that changes everything about our lives today. And I do understand that this is the season to be jolly, as the song says, right? And this is the time of giving, and this is the time of sharing. I mean, after all, even Scrooge becomes nice this time of year. This is when the Grinch makes it all right again. But still, those are not the things that we are to find most important about this season. And as I was thinking the last couple of weeks about, you know, the Christmas story, and I think every preacher is in the same boat every single Christmas, because it's, you know, it's the same passage every year, and you feel like you preach the same thing every year. And I was thinking, well, God, how can I change it up? And God was like, you really don't need to change it. It's kind of how I wanted it to be. And so you'll learn nothing new this morning, but there are a few things that I believe God in a manger, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Christmas story reminds us of, that I believe can change our lives. And here's the first quick reminder this morning. God in a manger reminds us that God can take even the unthinkable and that He can do the impossible. One of the central truths of the Christmas story is that God brought His perfect Son Jesus into this world through a young virgin girl named Mary. Many times you've heard the idea of the virgin birth, and that's really talking about how it all happened. Literally, the Bible teaches us that God caused Mary to conceive His Son Jesus in her womb. She had never known a man intimately up to that time, nor did she in order to conceive Jesus. And when we think about the idea of a woman who had never known a man intimately giving birth to a child, well, to our minds, it seems impossible, doesn't it? I can't see all of your hands, but could you just raise the hand without the candle? Okay, all right. If you think it seems impossible, that to your finite mind, that this could happen. And if sometimes you struggle to wrap your mind around the idea of how this virgin woman named Mary could give birth to the Son of God, guess what? You're not alone. You're in some really good company, actually. In fact, Joseph, the man that God chose to be the earthly father of His Son Jesus, he even questioned the whole situation as well. In fact, in Matthew chapter 1, we're told, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and when His mother Mary was espoused to be with Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, because he was a just or a righteous man, did not want to make her a public example, so he thought that he was going to put her away or divorce her privately. But while he thought on these things, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And here's what the angel said, 'Joseph, you son of David, don't fear to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you will call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins.'" So even Joseph questioned when he knew that Mary was pregnant. He was wondering, hey, how did this happen? I don't understand everything. And he had to have even his own questioning and doubts affirmed as well. And then Mary, she questioned how it was all possible. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that when the angel came and gave Mary the very same news that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, we are told that she simply asked the question, "How can this be, seeing that I've never known a man?" And then the angel said to Mary, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One which will be born of you will be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." And then listen to verse 37, what the angel tells Mary. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So what Joseph thought to be unthinkable at the time, what Mary thought to be unthinkable or even impossible at the time, the angel assures Mary that with God, even the unthinkable, even the seemingly impossible becomes possible. And that's exactly what took place. God did the unthinkable in making the impossible become possible. And we are told in Luke chapter 2, the story of the Christmas story that we've probably heard from our childhood all the way up, we're told that in verse 7 that she brought forth her firstborn son, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the end. And so Jesus, the Son of God who had eternally existed, even before time, now took on human form, fully God and fully man, and reminded us that God can take the unthinkable and He can do the impossible. And I don't know where you find yourself at in your life this morning. Maybe you're right there in your life. Maybe you're facing an unthinkable situation. Maybe it seems impossible that it could ever work out. Maybe it seems impossible that there's any way out of the situation you're in. Maybe you're just not sure how in the world you can make it through whatever period of your life you're walking through. I want to remind you that the Christmas story, God in a manger, the message of Christmas is that God can take the impossible and make all things possible. But not only does He remind us that He takes the unthinkable and does the impossible, I believe God in a manger, the Christmas story, also reminds us that God always keeps His promises. Aren't you glad that we serve a promise-keeping God? God always keeps His promises. The virgin birth of Jesus was something that had been foretold by God's prophets for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before He was actually born to the Virgin Mary. Matthew even makes note of that in his account in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. Matthew even says, "Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be born with a child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." But not only did Matthew remind us of the prophets, when we think about the Old Testament and we think about all of the prophets of God in the Old Testament, prophets such as Micah and Hosea and Isaiah and Zephaniah, Zechariah, all of them prophesied about how one day Jesus would be born into this world. Daniel the prophet himself, he even really gave us an absolute timetable for when Jesus would enter into Jerusalem, presenting Himself to the Messiah of His people. And the unique thing, when we think about all of these prophecies of the Old Testament, these prophecies were given as many as 700 years before Jesus was literally born into this world. But they're not the only ones. In fact, there are over 300 specific promises about the coming Savior or Messiah in the Hebrew Scriptures of the Old Testament. Over 300. And when you think about the improbability that all of those prophecies could be fulfilled in one person, Jesus, being born into this world, being the Messiah, even as He was, it seems almost theoretically unimaginable that all of those things could come together and be fulfilled in one person. One person actually even did some research on this idea of how Jesus Christ, this one person, could fulfill all of the prophecies of the Hebrew Old Testament and the Hebrew Scriptures. And they came up with this number for the odds of one person being able to fulfill all of those things as stated in the prophecies of Scripture. Are you ready for this? There was only a 1 in 10 to the 17th power chance that one person could fulfill all of the prophecies of the Hebrew Scriptures, such as Jesus did. That person also counted it up in the form of silver dollars. And if you could take enough silver dollars to put this out, this 1 to the 10 by the 17th power out so we could all see it, then it would stack and cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. It's how astronomically improbable one person fulfilling all of those promises would be. But God in a manger, the Christmas story reminds us that God always keeps His promises. And even though after all of these prophecies had been foretold some 700 years before, and even though that it seemed as though God went silent for some 400 years between the fulfilling of the Old Testament and the introduction of the New Testament, God broke the silence with His Son, Jesus Christ. God in a manger, the birth of Jesus Christ. And Christmas, this idea that God keeps His promises is something that as believers we can walk through life with assurance. Because we know the same God that fulfilled all of the promises of the Old Testament in His Son Jesus Christ is the same God who keeps His promises to you and to me as we walk through this life. What does that mean for you? It means that Christmas says to you, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you're going through in your life, if you're a child of God, then there is purpose in your pain. Why? Because God keeps His promises. It means that as a child of God, His grace is sufficient no matter what you go through in your life. Why? Because God keeps His promises. It means that you can trust in Him to never leave you, to never forsake you. Why? because God keeps His promises. But also, God in a manger, it reminds us that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what we've done in our lives, if we call unto God for salvation, He will save us. Why? Because God keeps His promises. And maybe you're walking through life and you're tired of all the failed promises of life letting you down. Maybe you're tired of the failed promises of people in your life letting you down. Maybe you're tired of the things that you feel like always fail when you thought like they would not ever fail. The relationship or the financial state of your life when we feel so secure in all of those things, and there's such promise in all the things of this life at times. Maybe all of those things have let you down. God in a manger, the Christmas story, reminds you that God never lets you down and that God always keeps His promises to His people. But not only that, finally, God in a manger reminds us that God never gives up on us. And I think out of all the promises and all the reminders of the Christmas story and God in a manger, I believe I'm so thankful for this one, maybe more so than all. God never gives up on us. I want you to consider in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, when Matthew gives us the account, he says that she would bring forth a son, and she being Mary, and specifically told her that you would call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. At the end of verse 25 in that same chapter of Matthew, we're told that Joseph knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and Joseph called his name Jesus. Now, I know we've heard that name Jesus so often because we have been around church and we just know of Jesus. You even talk of people who don't have a relationship with Jesus and they know who this Jesus is, or at least they have some type of idea. But the name Jesus is a meaningful name. It comes from the Hebrew name Yeshua. And guess what Yeshua means? It means salvation. God is salvation. Jesus became the fleshing out of the salvation of God for all of humanity. And that's why when in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and you, most of you will know this passage very well, but in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, you remember when the angels appeared to the shepherds as they were keeping their flocks and abiding, you know, in the countryside over their flocks. You remember the glorious message that the angel shared with those shepherds in Luke chapter 10. We're told, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then we were told after that, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." God in a manger reminds us that God has never given up on us. That Jesus was sent to be the salvation of all mankind. But when we think about God in a manger, you know, the baby in a manger, we think about how cute that story is, and we think about Jesus, you know, little Jesus. We sing Silent Night, even though it probably wasn't that silent at night with a little newborn. But regardless of that, it's a really good song. And we think about the little baby. So how can that little baby be the Savior of the world? I mean, we know our own little cute little babies here at the church. How can a baby be born the Savior of the world? How could that babe in a manger, God in a manger, be the great rescuer? We need to remember that the cradle was simply His avenue to the cross. And in fact, without the cross, there would really be no reason for Christmas. And we believe that the Bible teaches us that Jesus is God's greatest gift to mankind. We believe that this gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger would be wrapped in a blood-stained robe some 33 years later. And we believe that Jesus, this God in the manger, was born into this world to be God's greatest gift to meet mankind's greatest need. Max Lucado puts it this way. He said, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, then God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God chose to send us a Savior." And the Christmas story reminds us, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done in your life, God hasn't given up on you. But God, in fact, sent Himself, His Son, into this world, born in a manger, to live a sinless life that you could not live, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, so that when you believe in Him, no matter what you've done or where you've been, you will be able to realize that God has not given up on you. And you may be here this morning, and you may be like me, and you've messed up at times. You've said things you shouldn't have said. You've done things you shouldn't have done. You've thought things you should not have thought. And you've just blown it big time. And you think, well, there's no way that God can love me. There's no way that God can remain faithful to me. There's no way that God hasn't given up on me. But the Christmas story reminds us all that God has not given up on anyone. And He so loves you and so deeply cares for you that He was willing to leave heaven and come to this earth in the person of His Son Jesus so that He could do for you what you could never do for yourself. God in a manger reminds you that God has never given up on you. And you may have given up on you. And people in your life may have given up on you. But God has not given up on you. And if you have breath, then you have hope. And if you have time in this life, then there is still time, no matter where you are, to find the hope and salvation that only the God in the manger could bring as He died on the cross for your sins and resurrected on the third day. And as you believe in Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. There are three truths that we must understand when it comes to God in a manger, when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to the one who left heaven and came to earth, the person of the Christmas story. We need to remember this. Jesus was born without sin, and He lived a sinless life. And that is why Jesus had to be born through a virgin and not through a sinful man. Because Jesus had to be fully God and fully man in order to live the life that He could live and must have lived so that He could be the sacrifice acceptable to His Father for our sins. And when we in our sins have no desire to look for God, the birth of Jesus reminds us that God came looking for us. When we can never get to God on our own, the Christmas story reminds us that God came to us in our greatest moment of need. Willie Rice, he says this, "Christmas means that God came looking for you before you ever thought to look for Him." And Christmas reminds us of that. God came to us in the person of Jesus, fully God, yet fully man. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was born without sin and He lived a sinless life. But we must also remember that Jesus died for our sins. The Bible teaches us that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible also affirms that the wages or the consequence of those sins is death. Our sins separate us from God. And the only acceptable sacrifice before God for our sins was His perfect Son. Jesus provided that sacrifice. He paid the price, again, that He did not owe so that we could have the forgiveness that we do not deserve. He was born to die so that we could live through His sacrifice and through His life. And we could never know God's grace, and we could never know God's forgiveness, and we could never be restored into a right relationship with God were it not for Jesus' death and His sacrifice for our sins. And finally, we must also be convinced that Jesus conquered death to bring us eternal life. We need to realize that God did not leave heaven and come to this earth to live the sinless life that He lived, and then at the age of 33 to die on the cross and to stay dead. He didn't come for that. Jesus was buried in the grave, but the Bible teaches us that 3 days later He arose in victory. Victory over death, victory over sin for all of eternity. And because Jesus got up, we can get up too. No matter the life that we are living, we can know what true, abundant, and eternal life is. And we can know what it feels like. Why? Because God has placed an exclamation point at the end of His story. God did not stay in the grave, but He came forth from that grave 3 days later. And as people who have the opportunity to trust in that message, we understand that it all began with this Jesus who was born humbly in a manger, who lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and arose victoriously. And He is now seated at the right hand of His Father in heaven, where He waits for all of us to come to Him through faith and repentance. God in a manger reminds us of all those glorious truths. And I would encourage you this morning that as we take part in communion, and we're going to go ahead and ask our communion servers to go ahead and make their way forward. As we take part in communion, I would encourage you, as you take part in both the bread and the juice, to allow this to be a reminder to you of what this season really is about. And may we be reminded, yes, it's a very cute story that we've kind of gotten, you know, we've gotten, I think, a little too accustomed to at times, and we forget that the cradle was simply a means to the cross. It was simply a means to an even greater end that we desperately stood in need of. And as we take part in the communion this morning, I would encourage you to examine your life spiritually and allow God through His Holy Spirit to speak into your life this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you've never had that time in your life where you've turned from the sin in your life. And as sincerely as you know how, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And you've committed your life to Him, making Him the Lord of your life. If you've never made that decision today, then as those of us who are followers of Christ, we take part in this communion, the breaking of bread and the drinking of the juice, as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, would you allow it to be a reminder of God's great love for you? And no matter where you are this morning, no matter what you've done this morning, no matter the bondage that you may feel like you're in, the place where you're at, you're not too far gone for God to do in your life what only God can do. And so I would encourage you as they sing a wonderful song in just a moment, and as our gentlemen pass out the elements for our communion, allow the Spirit of God to start speaking and moving, and ask God just a simple question: have I allowed the story of Christmas to become just something that I hear and just something that doesn't move me? Or have I allowed this story to remind me that the cradle meant the cross? The cross meant the grave meant the resurrection, and all of it together means my salvation. That is the message of God in a manger.